Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Well, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to read together verses 50 through 52. And I've entitled this evening's message, Jesus is Coming for His Bride. It's right up here. Let's look up here for a moment, and we'll have it right here on your screen. Jesus is coming for His bride. Praise God. Praise God. Are you there at 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians 15:50, and the Word of God reads, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be what? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed." Praise God. Praise God. So, my friends, Jesus said, He said this, to observe the times. To observe the times that we're in. That's right. We need to observe the times. You see, my friends, Jesus taught that He will return to earth. And He was careful to warn His disciples to be constantly prepared for this great moment in time. And my friends, I'm here to let you know that we need to know and discern the times that we live in right now. Can I get an amen? Look. Everything that's happening, you know, we think that the world's falling apart, you know, with the gross darkness and the abortion and the transgender movement and the far left agenda that has now infiltrated our land. You know, for some, we can perceive that as things are falling apart. No, my friends, I'm here to let you know things are falling in place. That's right, because Jesus said that in the last days we would see perilous times. We would see these things to come. And I'm here to let you know that God is preparing His church. God is cleansing His church. God is shaking His church. God is whittling out His church. Oh, that's right. You see, the ones that are still striving, those who are still pressing, those who are still worshiping, those who are still serving, those who are still glorifying God. It's those folks, hallelujah, that Jesus is coming back for. That's right. He's coming back for those who are looking unto Him, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is looking to see who has faith to believe that He's coming back again for His church. I'm here to let you know that Jesus said that when He does return, He will have His reward. How many want to be rewarded? That's right. We don't deserve a penny, but yet God washed us in His blood. That's right. He drew us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He gave us a mind to be saved. He gave us a heart to repent. He's the one that now, hallelujah, has us on the straight and narrow. That's right. He has given us discernment for the times that we live in. He has given us discernment on things that are good and things that are bad. Oh, that's right. He has given us discernment to know that, to discern the things that are evil. And right now, there are wicked and evil things right now in our nation alone. Right now, 60 million babies have been aborted. That's right. My brother who works for the DA's office said that one of the highest crime rates in San Diego, we would think it would be drugs, but it's not drugs. It's actually slave Sexual trading. That's right. Slave trading. Oh my gosh. Let me just say this, my friends. We are living in a period that's dark. We are living in a period that there's earthquakes, wars, and rumors of wars. We are still in a pandemic. There are still folks that won't come back to church. They are afraid to come back. And a lot of times, they didn't even get the plague at church. They got it for somewhere else. And yet, they have this fear of coming back to church. I don't understand that. But I'm here to let you know, if God be for you, who could be against you? God has put a shield and a buckler around us, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God has raised us up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. God is doing the miraculous in your life. He's doing the miraculous in my life. And I praise God. I praise God for what He is doing in my life and how He rescued us. And for some of us that were plagued with COVID-19, how God came in and saved us and healed us and delivered us. Can I get an amen in the house? That's right. For some of us, we can testify, yeah, that thing came to me. It came upon me, but God delivered me. Praise God. Praise God. I want us to look right here, my friends. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at this. In Matthew 24, 3 through 14, we're going to be in the Word. Let's look at this for a moment. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, that's Jesus with his disciples, right across is the Temple Mount. On the opposite side of these two mountains and down below is the Kidron Valley. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and I will do what? And they will deceive many.'" Look at verse 6, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Look at verse 7, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be" what? "Famines and pestilences, earthquakes in various places." My goodness, my goodness. And all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Let me just pause right now. Let me just pause on this. We are seeing these things right now. This nation has gone through two world wars. Yeah, a lot of those wars were before we were born. But there's one brewing right now that's about ready to spring in action. And I believe the next war will probably be with China and Russia. That's right. They hate us. They're Marxist communists that hate the free world. And they would love to devour us. I truly believe they're the ones. China's the ones that sent that plague upon us. That's right. It was developed in their Wuhan lab. That's right. And so there's a whole lot of theories out there, but one of them I truly believe is they did it intentionally. And there is going to be a price to pay. Because if you look at it in reality, if you go back and look at history, there's more people that died in our nation because of COVID-19 than when Japan dropped bombs in Hawaii Islands. That's right. There's more deaths in our nation than that. And that was an act of war back then. I truly believe that was an act of war on our country. I believe that as we get closer to the end, it's going to get chaotic. It's going to get brutal. This is why, my friends, we need to have our hearts prepared to meet the King. We need to be washed in the blood. We need to be repentant. Hallelujah. Stay in a repentant place with God, that your heart will be bent toward Him, that we would lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us and press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. You and I, my friends, we need to be prepared. Hallelujah. Why? Because Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. How many believe He's coming again? I believe He's coming again. So let's go back now to the Word of God. Let's look at verse 9. "And they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then false," look at this, "many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. My goodness, my goodness. And verse 12 through 14, look at this. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. I need to pause there. I've seen some wonderful saints of God that started out when I started out 32 years ago. And then the last 15 years of pastoring Amazing Grace, I've seen some wonderful people come and go. But I also seen some that were on fire for God, and now they have withered away. Well, Jesus just confirmed that in the last days, many will wax cold, and they will just leave the faith. They will say, oh yeah, right, he's coming again. I'm just going to go back out there and party. I'm just going to go out there and gamble. I'm just going to go out there and do my thing. I'm going to go to the casinos. I'm going to go to Las Vegas. I'm missing out on some fun and action. I did my time. I've heard people say, I did my time. Really? My goodness. My goodness, it's not about doing your time. It's about being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? It's about staying in the fire. It's about praying for one another. It's about lifting up one another. It's about helping one another. It's not about forsaking one another. It's about coming together in the unity of the faith. Why? Because Jesus is about to return. And I want God to know that I am there waiting for his return. Are you waiting for his return? Or have you turned your cheek and have gone off to do other things in life that the things of God don't matter no more? My goodness. Let's go back to the word of God. Let's look at this. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he, this is key, say that with me at home. But he who endures to the end shall be what? Saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Did you catch that, my friends? And then the end will come. Wow. Wow. My friends, the end is near. I believe we are the terminal generation that's going to see God. I believe we're the generation that God has chosen, that the dead in Christ will rise first, then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord. Where? In the clouds. Look at the clouds behind me. We're going to meet the Lord in the clouds. Praise God. Now let's look at this for a moment. Jesus, the greatest comforter. Jesus is the greatest comforter. That's right. Yes, he is. Saints, they understood it. The disciples understood that the present age will end with his coming. The assurance of his return was one of the truths in which he comforted his followers before his death. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed he did that? That's right. Look at this. Let's go back to the word right here. Jesus told them, and he's telling us right now, no differently, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you, where? To myself, that where I am, you may be also. Wow. Wow. Isn't that a blessing? That Jesus went away. It's been 2,000 years now. I could imagine what's prepared for you, what's prepared for me. Listen, I've been on many tours to Rancho Santa Fe. You know, the multi-million dollar homes in our community. It's one of the most ritziest places. You know, they have $40 million homes. That's right. You could go into a home and find an 80-inch flat-screen TV in one of the toilets. That's right. They got horse stables, basketball courts, movie theaters. They have swimming pools that go from the outside into their living room. Oh, yes. I mean, beautiful. Everything that you can imagine. But here's the thing. It will still get termites. It will still need plumbing. It will still need roofing. Yes, that's right. It will still need plastering and painting. Eventually, it'll erode and corrode. That's right. And if you were to look at that huge giant complex for $40 million, it pales in comparison. I'm going to use King James terminology. It would compare as a dunghill to what God has prepared those who love him. That's right. God has prepared a mansion for us in heaven, not made with human hands. And I can't wait. I know you can't wait. Listen, I love this life. I don't know how many years I have left. I don't know how many years you got left, but we're here temporarily. I hope you know that. Don't cling on to this world, because this world is passing away. Cling on to Jesus, who is our eternal hope. Can I get an amen? That's right. That's right, saints. So at that time of Christ's ascension, two angels came to the group and watching the disciples repeat the promise that he will return. They declared that it would be in the same manner as he went away. That's right. That's right. Look at this. I'm going to show you right here in the Word of God. Look at this. It says, now when he had spoken these in Acts 1, 9 through 11, look at this. When he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Do you notice? He went away in a cloud and he's coming back in the clouds. And while they looked steadfastly, what? Toward heaven as it went up. Look at this. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Who were these two men? Well, let's look at it. Who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? Verse 11, this is the key verse. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in the like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Praise God. Praise God. And so as you can see, look at the clouds. He went up in the clouds and he's coming back in the clouds. He's coming back for his bride. We are the bride of Christ. We are the church. We are the church of the living God. We have repented of our sins. We have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We have been filled with the Spirit of promise. We've been baptized in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And now we are heaven bound and there's a hell to shun. That's right. Aren't you excited that God is preparing us to meet him face to face, and we will be changed and we will be just like him? I can't wait, saints. And so this clearly means his second coming will be literal, physical, and visible. The New Testament epistles refer often to the second coming, and the theme of imminence runs through all the passages of Scripture, my friends, dealing with this same subject. Praise God. Praise God. So let's look at this for a moment. The apostles declared his second coming. That's right. They declared it. They declared it. Now, the whole body of teaching concerning the return of the Lord, it emphasizes that it will happen suddenly without warning, that believers should be in a state of continual readiness. How many are ready? As you're listening to this message, how many can honestly say, I'm ready to meet the King? But maybe, just maybe, you've logged in and you never heard this teaching before. And maybe God is touching your heart. Maybe God is saying, hey, look unto me, the author and the finisher of your faith. Many throughout the ages, many good-hearted people either grew up in church, got invited to church, joined the church. Maybe they went to Sunday school. Maybe some of them are on the choir. Maybe some of them have joined the church to do several things. But one thing could be missing: being born again from above, being transformed. Another means being regenerated. In other words, going from dead to life. That's right. We come into this world physically alive, but spiritually dead. But when the heart repents and cries out to the Lord Jesus Christ, then God, hallelujah, by his grace and by his mercy, washes us in his blood. And once the blood covers, the sin is removed, and now the Holy Spirit can dwell in the body of flesh. Wow! Praise God! Praise God! Let's look at Hebrews right here. Let's look at this. In Hebrews 10, 37 through 39, let's look what it says. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. As I mentioned, there's people that have drawn back. They have walked away. They said, I've done my time. I don't need to be in church no more. I did my time. I'm going to go do my thing now. I'm missing out on life. Well, look what it says right here. But we are not of those who draw back. Say that with me again. But we are not of those who draw back to what? Perdition. But of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed that we're counted in that number? Aren't you so blessed, my friends, that God counts us worthy, that we can walk in His ways, that we can surrender to Him, that we can say glory to God, that nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for a spirit of humility. He's looking for those who would walk humbly before Him. He's looking for those that will stay repentant in their heart toward Him, that He can use us, that we would be like silly putty in His hand, that He could mold us and shape us and form us, and that we wouldn't complain. That's what He's looking for. He's looking for a people that will be surrendered totally to Him. Praise God. Now, let's look at this word of God right here. And it's found in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Look at this. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You see, my friends, we are in the latter rain now. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Praise God. Praise God. How many believe that scripture? That the Lord is soon to come. Oh, yes, He is. He is. Don't think for one moment, just because it's been 2,000 years, because the Bible says 1 year or 1 day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like 1 day. So to the Lord, it's been 2,000 years. That's like 2 days. Why? Because there's no clocks in heaven. Praise God. You know, there's some people that have a misconception about heaven. Some people think, oh, well, what am I going to do up there? Play a bunch of harps and just lay on clouds? No, my friend. Number one, we're not going to be in these physical bodies that get tired where we need 8 hours of sleep. No, we're going to be in the brand new body. There is not going to be any sleeping up in heaven. There's not going to be no clocks. We're not going to go, oh, my gosh, I'm getting tired. It's time to go. I'm hungry. No, it's not going to be like that, my friends. It's going to be something that's going to blow us away. We're going to be in heavenly bliss. You're going to want to worship and praise God. You're going to want to do whatever He asks us to do. And we will be doing things up in heaven. Oh, that's right. Oh, yes, we're going to be assigned, Bible says, over other nations. My goodness, my goodness. I can't wait. I can't wait for the new millennium. I can't wait for the new eternity that we will walk into. Why? Because we cannot conceive this in our natural mind. But God has already prepared all these things to those who love Him. How many of you can only just say you love the Lord Jesus? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Let's just take time out and say, Lord, we love You. Lord, we praise You. We exalt You. We magnify You. God, thank You for saving a wretch like me. Thank You for sanctifying me, filling me with the Holy Ghost. Thank You for empowering me. Thank You for allowing me to walk in Your ministry, to walk in Your vineyard, to be used by You. Thank You, God. Lord, I just want to be used by You, Lord. I want to be your vessel of honor. I want to walk in Your ways. I want to speak, hallelujah, the things of the Lord. I want to see people get saved. I want to see people get healed. I want to see people get delivered. I want to see people be raised up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I want to see people raising up their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. The Bible says, train up a child when he grows old, and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. Did you catch that? Train up a child when he is young, and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. That's right. Bring your children to the household of faith. Bring them so they can listen to the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Praise God. Let's look at this next verse of Scripture right here, my friends. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 8 through 10. Now, look what it says here. For from the Word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declaring concerning us, what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Praise God, praise God. Look at this in verse 10. And to wait, say that with me at home, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. I just want to pause right there. Look at that. He delivered us from the wrath to come. You see, there's going to be a wrath poured out on this earth. You see, we think that all things are going to get better and then Jesus will come and usher in the millennium. No, he's got to remove his church because he is going to destroy the unbelieving world. He's got to bring judgment. And so he delivered us from the wrath to come. How much clearer do you need to comprehend that there is a coming day of wrath that God's going to pour out and he's going to destroy, he's going to renovate this world? 1 Peter says that it's going to be like fervent heat that's going to melt this entire world. God is going to he's going to renovate everything, but he's got to bring judgment, and he is going to let all the unbelievers, rich and poor, great and mighty, poor, all those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, they will see him and they will mourn and they will cry out, but it will be too late. It'll be too late. Why? Because the wrath of God has to take place. I know you don't want to hear that. I know you want to hear a feel-good message. You don't want to talk about these issues, but I'm here to let you know that I am delivering the mail. I am just the mailman. Don't throw tomatoes at me. Hallelujah. If you have an issue with this, take it up with the Word of God. Take it up with the Holy Spirit. But I'm here to let you know that God is going to pour out his wrath on this unbelieving world. This is why it's time to get right or get left. Can I get an amen? We want to get right and stand right before God. Or I don't want to get left behind. How many of you want to get left behind? No, I don't. I want to get caught up to be with the Lord forevermore. Praise God. To be delivered from the day of wrath to come. Now, saints of God, believers in the early days of the church lived in this state of expectancy. We, the church of today, should think no differently. Can I get an amen? You see, saints, being caught up is referred to among evangelicals as the rapture. And this word is not in the English Bible, but has been used so widely that one of the definitions of raptures is found in the Webster's Third International. Look at this. I want you to see this for a moment. Let's look at this for a moment. Webster's Third International Dictionary, unabridged. You can find that. You can Google that. That's right. But look what it says. It says, Christ raising up of his true church and its members to a realm above the earth where the whole company will enjoy celestial bliss with its Lord. What? This is a dictionary. This is a dictionary, my friends. And if you go, let's go back. I'm going to go back to that. It's found in the Webster's Third New International Dictionary, unabridged. So look for that, and then look up the word rapture, and it tells you, Christ raising up of his true church and its members to a realm above the earth where the whole company will enjoy celestial bliss with its Lord. Wow. You see, my friends, the word rapture could be well used to translate the expression caught up. Caught up. How many want to be caught up? I do. Look, it's found right here. Look at this. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always want be with the Lord. Be with the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? You see, my friends, Jesus said his coming will result one individual being taken from a location while another is left behind. This indicates a sudden removal of believers from the earth with unbelievers to face the tribulation. Wow. Wow. Look at this. It's found in Matthew. But of that day, say that with me, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Look at this. But as many the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving into marriage until the day that Noah entered into what? The ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the what? Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding, and one in the mill, one taken and the other left. Watch therefore. Say that with me, saints of God. Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour that your Lord is coming. Wow. Wow, my friends. Look at this. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what the hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. I'm so blessed to know that God doesn't text you. He doesn't email you. He doesn't call you and says, I'm coming on this day. I'm glad. He said, just prepare for his coming. That's right. Listen, right now in the Midwest, in the South, in the East, they're experiencing some really harsh weather. It's bitter cold, you see. But people can know the time of and seasons. But Jesus had a problem with those who did not know the time of his return. And so God is letting us know that it's close. That's right. It's very close. We are seeing the wars, the rumors of war, the earthquakes in many places. We're seeing the pandemic, which is a pestilence. We're seeing all these things. We're seeing false messiahs. We're seeing the love of many growing cold. And there's an apostasy. Apostasy meaning many started out on fire and now they're away from God. And they don't even care about the things of God no more. My goodness, my goodness. Look at this, my friends. The wrath of God is appointed for the unbelieving. It's for the unbelieving. That's right. You see, Jesus spoke of his return as a time when the nations of the earth shall mourn as they see him, mentioned in Matthew. The Apostle Paul spoke of the Lord's return as a time of judgment and wrath upon the wicked. Oh, yes, yes, I'm here to let you know that Jesus said that these things would happen. Let's look at God's word once again. Look at this. Look at this, my friends. In Matthew 24, 29 through 31, look at this. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. There it is, coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Look at this in verse 31. And he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. There it is. That's the shofar blast. Every week I've been reminding us. But Jesus is saying, the angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the end of heaven to the other. I want you to catch that. He's gathering his elect. See, everyone thinks, oh, you know what? God knows me. You know, he's going to weigh out my good. He's going to weigh out my bad. And I'm a good person. You know, no. He's only going to take those who have repented, who has confessed their sin to him. And then he washes them in his blood. Then he fills them with his spirit. And that's why it's called being born again, born from above. You see, we all have been thrust out of our mother's womb and we've been birthed naturally. In other words, we've been born naturally once. But Jesus said we need to have a second birth. And that second birth is being born from heaven. And the only way to receive that is through a repentant heart. And then his blood applies. It is applied to your life. And he washes you and he cleanses you. And then he fills you with his spirit. And then he seals you until the day of redemption. Aren't you so blessed? Huh? Aren't you so blessed that I'd rather do it God's way? Look what else it says right here in God's word. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 3 through 12. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of all you abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith, and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Let me just pause there. We will suffer persecution, and we will go through tribulations before the Lord returns. Let's go back to the Word of God right here. Look at this. Verse 5, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who troubled you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us, with the Lord Jesus, and is revealed from heaven with his what? Mighty angels, praise God. Look at this, in verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? This is not a fairy tale. This is fact. This is what some teachers and some preachers and some churches won't teach. That God is love and, you know, tiptoe through the tulips. No, God is saying he's going to take vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And when he comes in that day, notice capital D, the day of the Lord, when he returns to be glorified in his saints. That's you and I. He's going to gather us and we're going to be with him and to be admired among all those who believe. Not the ones that don't believe. It's us who believe, because our testimony among you was what? Believe. Look at this. Verse 11 and 12. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God will count you worthy of this calling. Saints of God, are you worthy of the calling? Are you ready to meet the King? Are you ready to surrender everything and be counted worthy like the scripture says? I'm glad it was written for your understanding so that we would believe by faith these things that we're hearing right now and what we're reading. Let's go back to the word. Look at that. Count worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be what? Be glorified in you. And you and him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, my friends, that God has counted you worthy? That's right. Look at this. You need to be born again and filled with the Holy Ghost to avoid what? This day, the day of the Lord. The day that God will pour out his vengeance. My friends. And it's simple. It's simple, but you got to understand the things of God. You got to understand that there's truth. You got to understand that God has made a specific way for you and I to enter into the kingdom of God. The Bible says there are many, many religions that are trying to get in. They're trying to go up a different way, but they're nothing but thieves and robbers. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through me. Jesus says, I am the door, and I am the door of the sheepfold. And only those, hallelujah, can enter in through the blood of the Lamb. Jesus made it clear to a religious man. And there's a lot of religious people right now in this world that'll just say, all you got to do is just say a little simple prayer and you're in. No, you have to come repented. You have to come and turn. Turn, that means turn from your wicked ways and say, oh God, forgive me. And God, cleanse me. God, wash me. God, help me. You see, when you come to God in that attitude, that's when God will do the supernatural. That's when you'll get his attention. But there's a lot of people say, oh man, you know, I come from a Reformed church. And, you know, all I got to do is just believe, that's all. And I could just live the way I want. No. God did not give us a license to sin once he saved us. But God has given us power. God has given us strength. God has given us, hallelujah, the ability to say no to evil and to say yes to the things of God. But look at this religious leader that sat with Jesus by night. I call him Nick at night. It was Nicodemus. Look at this. Let's go there real quick. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them." Jesus cut through the chase. He could have had a cup of tea with him, but he said, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again," I need you to catch this, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." What? Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" So look at this. He thought that a human being had to go back up into his mother's womb and come out again. He didn't understand spiritual understanding. He didn't understand the things that are from heaven. He was looking at it in an earthly realm. But God is speaking us through a heavenly realm right now in the name of Jesus. Let's go back here. Look at this. In verse 5, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." Say that with me, my friends. You must be born again. There's no other way. That's right. You have to be born from above in order to be caught up in the clouds with them. Can I get an amen? Now, let's look at this found in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6 through 11. Look at this. "For to be carnally minded," that means being unregenerated, not being born again. "But for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God." In other words, there's a wall that could never be crossed. "For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." Look at verse 8. "So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh." Say that with me at home. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." Notice capital S, Holy Spirit. "If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Did you catch that? "Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." Wow. Wow. Look at this in verse 10 and 11. "But if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Whose righteousness? Christ, the righteous one. "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through whose Spirit who dwells in you." Wow. Praise God. Isn't that a blessing to know that, saints? Huh? Isn't that a blessing? So look at my friends. Be rapture ready and stay in a continual repentant state of mind and heart. That's the key. Be rapture ready. That's right. Why? Because Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. And look, he's going to come back in those clouds. That's right. This is this whole message that Jesus is coming for his bride. And we are the bride of Christ. He's coming once again. I believe it's soon and very soon. I've preached enough tonight so that you can chew on these things. So that you can say, "Oh God, show me your ways. Oh God, help me. Help me prepare my life for your return. Help me, oh God, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets me. Help me press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Help me, oh God, hallelujah, be that child of God that you have called out of darkness into your marvelous light. Oh, help me, God. Help me with my heart. Help me with the issues of life. Help me with relationships. Help me, oh God, on finances. Help me with my health. Help me with all these things, oh God. Lord, I need you every moment, every hour, every day I need you, oh God." Is that your heart cry to him? Well, listen, he's coming back again. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church, and he said it best. Let's look at this for a moment. Look at this. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, he says, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, For if we believe, look at this, for if we believe that Jesus, say that with me, that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Praise God, praise God. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Then the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we, say that with me at home, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Verse 18, therefore, comfort one another. Comfort. And so, my friends, this is going to be the greatest event that our present world is ever going to see, and probably never see that again. That's right. God is going to take the church home. And the tribulation is going to be poured out, and there's going to be wrath. There's going to be all kinds of things happening. And I'm so blessed that he has counted us worthy to escape all these things. But I'm here to let you know, before we can ascend into those clouds, we can't do it with this flesh and blood body. Look at this. I could only jump so high, and I have to come back to the law of gravity here on this earth. This is why the Bible says we have to be changed and we have to be like him. When Jesus died and rose again, God gave him a brand new body, a body that can appear and disappear. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that we're going to have the same body? Listen, when I was a kid and even a teenager, I used to always dream, and they were so real. I would be dreaming that I'm flying in the air, that I can just fly, land, walk, and then just take off and fly. I believe God was showing me that this is what to expect when we get the new body. Because we will not, hallelujah, thank you, God, we will not be part of the gravity here on earth. That's right. We're going to be in these spiritual bodies, these brand new bodies that'll never die. It'll never grow old. We will live forever, and we will know who we are. God is not going to take away our mind. I will know my brother and my sister, but more so, I will know the Lord Jesus Christ. I will know the apostles. I will know all those who died in the faith. We're going to know who they are, and we're going to have a blessed time. But something has to happen. We must be changed. Look at this. It tells us right here. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 1550 through 54. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot, what? Inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Praise God. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? My question is, are you ready? Are you ready to be caught up? Have you been washed by the blood of the Lamb through a repentant heart? Are you filled with the Spirit of promise? Have you been baptized in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you heaven bound and there's a hell to shun? Or are you still on the fence? You don't know. You don't know if you're saved or not. I joined a church when I was a kid. You know, I went to Sunday school. I gave an offering. That's not going to get you in. You got to be born from above. And if you're not born again, do not let this next thing happen to you. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come
Are you ready? I know you don't want to be left behind. I know that you mean well. And some of you have committed yourselves to the things of God. But maybe, just maybe, you've never been born again. Well, God's going to give you an opportunity. And it's very clear. 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Peter preached his very first sermon. And this is what he preached. He preached, "Then Peter said to them, repent." That means turn. Make an about face. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn toward a holy God and confess your sin. Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin. That means forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Wow. Wow. Isn't that exciting, my friends? Huh? Isn't that exciting to know? My goodness, that God wants to do the miraculous. He wants to do something so special in your life. And all you have to do is receive Him by faith. Listen, I want to pray with you. If you're watching this broadcast right now, whether it's on Facebook or YouTube, and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, allow me, because it'll be a privilege for me. It'll be an honor to lead you into a sinner's prayer, that you would confess your sin to God, that you would cry out to God to save you. And I believe through God's word, He will, with a repentant heart. Not just saying it, but meaning it down deep in your soul, that you need Him as your Savior, that you need God in your life, that you've been doing it your way. You've been having a Burger King life, having it your way. And now it's time to allow God to have His way in you. If that's you, please bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer with me. It goes just like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Listen, someone just gave their heart to Christ. Someone just got saved. And I am so blessed. Look, down below, there's our website. Please reach out. Reach out to us. Our email, our phone number is on our website. Listen, we want to get a Bible to you. That's right. We want to pray with you. We want to lead you to a church that'll preach and teach. That's right. The unadulterated Word of God. And if you live locally, we would love to invite you out Sunday morning, this Sunday morning at 10:30. And we may go live stream. It all depends on what takes place on Saturday as we do our setup. But we're looking forward to these great and wonderful things that God is doing. And so I want to just thank you. Thank you for tuning in. And thank you for allowing me to sow into your hearts the Word of God by faith. And on behalf of Sister Yolanda and Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, we want to bless you with this benediction that you would go forth this day, this evening, and that God will give us another day tomorrow by His grace. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. And so, my friends, it's time to sign off and say goodbye for this evening. We love you. Can't wait to see you Sunday morning. Come on out. Tell a friend. Bring a friend. And let's pack out the place. And let's give God all the praise, glory, and honor. And so, God bless you. We love you. And we'll see you Sunday morning at 10:30 at the Bonita facility in Bonita on 5305 Sweetwater Road. God bless you, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.